Thursday, March 1st, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As I recently discussed in an interview with James Corbett, which I highly recommend you all check out, social engineering is playing a larger role than ever before in the simmering pot on the verge of boiling over that is American culture. It is social engineering that allows Americans to ignore the fact that the national debt is insurmountable, that the U.S. government is literally insolvent. It is intense social programming that allows the average American to mildly be aware of this issue, yet regard it as somehow inconsequential or irrelevant. But sure, let's spend more than ever before on the already largest military in the world, larger than the next 8 countries combined. It's social engineering that allows the masses, reacting to whatever recently used event is center stage in the corporate media, to argue over who will dissolve our rights and in what way, yet fail to articulate the general concern for encroaching tyranny felt by most when not inundated by the suffocating collectivist groupthink. It is social engineering that miraculously blinds the individual from reconciling the verifiable lies of the past with the same lies told today being accepted as unquestionable truth, even from the same lying mouths that first spewed the deception. Yet the programming is so powerful that the individual is even unaware of the contradiction in logic. We must always be questioning our perspectives while being open to any outlook, even those that come from highly questionable sources. To do any less would be to play into the hands of those always evolving and looking for new ways to manipulate and control the public, and more specifically, manipulate those who would seek to awaken the public. First article of the day coming out of ZeroHedge.com, the U.S. government lost $1.2 trillion in 2017. Earlier this month, the United States government released its annual financial report for the year 2017. Right at the beginning of the report, the government explains that its net loss for the year was an unbelievable $1.2 trillion. That's larger than the size of the entire Australian economy and constitutes a loss of more than $2.2 million per minute. Further in the report, the government reviews its own assets and liabilities, effectively calculating its net worth. It's just like how an individual might calculate his or her own net worth. You add up the value of your assets, like your home, your car, your bank account balances, then subtract liabilities like mortgage and credit card debt. The government is hopelessly negative, minus $20.4 trillion, and that's worse than its result from the previous year, which was $19.3 trillion minus, meaning that the government's net worth decreased about 6% year over year. The government currently has far more liability than it does assets. If the government were a business, it would have gone bankrupt long, long ago. On top of that, however, the government separately calculated its long-term liabilities from Social Security and Medicare. And according to the government's own calculations, the total present value of future expenditures in excess of future revenue for Social Security and Medicare is minus $49 trillion. Essentially, this means that the two largest and most important pension and healthcare programs in the United States are insolvent by nearly $50 trillion. Altogether, the government is in the red by almost $70 trillion today. Ask yourself why this is not headline news. Ask yourself why none of your representatives are addressing what is clearly one of, if not the largest issue facing the country, insolvency. Moving on to the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, lawyers for the DNC argue that primary rigging is protected by the First Amendment. What was once adamantly denied, the rigging of the primary to help Clinton win, was shortly thereafter adjusted to the committee has no legal obligation to nominate who the people choose. They literally said that. And has now been adjusted yet again to the idea that primary rigging is now protected by the First Amendment. These people have zero respect for the process they currently manipulate. It is a big joke to them that we adhere to these rules, regulations, and stipulations while they do as they please and only call upon the rule of law when it is necessary to muddy the waters. As long as there is a partisan debate, no one will be held accountable, as usual. So they invoke a flimsy First Amendment defense of what they once claimed was a lie, interestingly enough, and we all chase our tails. The point Each time we uncover a crime, such as the rigging of the primary and many, many others, it gets buried in debate, political verbiage, and other news, likely created or cultivated to some degree. And despite the fact that we have a crime on the table, it is now a debate over if that crime was somehow protected by the Constitution. Now ask yourself, if it was you who committed the crime, would you be given the benefit of the doubt? Would you be able to continue your job in politics, influencing current policy and going about your day-to-day life? The difference is startling when we truly see how few in the elite circles, these elite class that they're in, are actually held accountable for that which the public is widely aware. Moving on to the next story coming out of thefreethoughtproject.com, cops are taking people's firearms, selling them to make a profit, and it's 100% legal. Now, before we get into the ins and outs of this story specifically, the idea of civil asset forfeiture is something that we've talked about quite a bit and something that is generally made of, most people are generally aware of it, but most people don't fully understand what it actually means. It's usually quickly dismissed as, oh, well, they're criminals, so they don't deserve to have whatever they had. But the reality of this, which many people, Rand Paul one, has been speaking out about this for a long time, is the idea that this is completely unconstitutional. What it ultimately means is if you get caught, even with a large sum of money, the police can then take it from you under the assumption that it could be used for a crime. Now, that goes against everything we pretend to represent in our legal system today, guilty until proven innocent, and on and on. The reality, and there's multiple cases of this happening, where one that I always bring up was two gentlemen driving cross-state with, I think, tens of thousands of dollars to start a new church. They had all the paperwork. They had everything they needed with them. Nonetheless, the police officers took all of their money and did nothing about it. And the reality is that the cops had no right to do it. They did it just because they thought they could take the money. And this is not an isolated case. This has happened multiple times. And I'll include a lot of different links in the show notes. But the idea now that they're taking these guns, which is, again, it's unconstitutional in multiple ways, Second Amendment being a large issue for me here, the idea that they're even taking somebody's guns, but then turning around and selling them is just ridiculous. I mean, was the goal here to keep children safe? So how does selling them to the next state do that? And it would be my guess that the people involved in this were completely unaware that their guns were simply being sold to some other state. I mean, clearly this is a manipulation taking place here, but this is not the only story coming up in this topic recently. Now, another one from ZeroHedge.com, Google censors guns, removes shopping results. So clearly all of this stemming from the recent shooting in Florida, now Google is apparently censoring results for shopping for guns. I mean, this is crazy. Again, we always have to know that Google or any of these, Facebook, Twitter, these are private companies. But I always make the argument that they're a monopoly at this point. Google is what people use. So they have an obligation to uphold certain general laws and constitutional rights. But what we're seeing here is they're actually taking a personal opinion and censoring results. So if you go to search, and I'll like always have this in the show notes to check out, you go to search a certain kind of gun, or the shopping results are zero, despite how many people are selling guns online and everywhere else. I mean, this is a huge violation. This is huge. When you really understand how big Google is and how many people that affects, they are censoring their results. Another one from ZeroHedge.com, quote, "We are going to take a stand. Dick's stops selling assault rifles permanently." Now, this is a sporting goods store that is openly saying that we are no longer going to be selling assault rifles. That's their prerogative. Their business. They can do what they want. But think about the implications here. I mean, this is a big deal. We've seen more come from this last shooting than I've ever seen before. The last one coming out of thefreethoughtproject.com, federal court quietly rules assault rifles not protected by Second Amendment. The Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that the Second Amendment does not provide protection for what it deemed assault rifles, nor does it protect any magazine larger than 10 rounds. So clearly there's a concerted effort here, all these stories connected. And this last one frustrates me because you're putting stipulations on something that is by definition not supposed to have stipulation. The Second Amendment and any of the amendments for that matter are something that should not be able to be worked around or added secondary amendments that manipulate the very meaning of it. You can't say you're allowed to have the right to a gun, but then say it can't be this kind of gun. It's hypocritical and it is contradictory as far as I'm concerned. But clearly this has been the effort from the very beginning. It's leading down this path. And now ultimately what this is going to do is open the door for more stringent gun control. I mean, and we're going to see more events happen, which lead to more control. It's ongoing. And I always have to point out that, do gun laws stop criminals? I mean, clearly we have to be able to acknowledge that, simply changing these gun laws keep the guns out of legal owners' hands. So somebody else who wants to go break the law is not going to go buy a legal gun. And the fact that some of these shooters had legal guns does not change that basic logic that these people are criminals. So if they wanted to go get an illegal gun, they could do so. The point being all of this together is that we are seeing a very concerted effort take place here, specifically about assault rifles. I mean, plenty of people involved in this are probably doing what they think is right, but we have to understand the overarching topic of social engineering, understand that this is being created. We are being led down this path specifically for a multitude of reasons, but to see it all perfectly line up like this, it's very clear that more is on the way, so we need to be paying attention. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming out of the antimedia.org, US, UK, and France are making the case for war against both Syria and North Korea. This is a very interesting story. Now, clearly there is a massive effort underway to revitalize this whole chemical weapons accusation as it pertains to Syria specifically. We can see this taking place, but now we're seeing this kind of rise from all across the board. And again, the social engineering involved in this is so profound that we continue to just absolutely disregard the fact that they're rewashing these old used up stories and trying to sell them again. And it's something we've seen in every single aspect of these chemical weapons accusations where, and we've said many times in last shows, they recently openly said that they have absolutely no proof to back them up, despite the fact that they've carried out many different violent actions based on that lie. And now they're openly saying that we didn't have the proof that we used or that we pretended we had to be able to carry out these attacks, which is a pretty profound thing to say. Now what we're seeing is there's multiple outlets are now reporting on an unreleased UN report that allegedly found North Korea had been providing Syria with supplies that could be used to make chemical weapons. According to the New York Times, the still-to-be-released report claims items including acid-resistant tiles, valves, and thermometers were shipped from North Korea to the Syrian government. The report also alleges that Pyongyang missile experts have been seen working in Syria chemical weapons and missile facilities. I mean, first of all, it's an unseen report from the UN being reported on by the New York Times. I mean, there are just a number of reasons not to take this at face value. The report allegedly states that trade between North Korea and Syria poses a serious risk because it appears to allow Syria to maintain chemical weapons and allow North Korea to fund its nuclear program. What a nice little perfect red bow on top of that one, right? It all just perfectly lines up to exactly what they've been trying to accomplish. Further muddying the waters of truth are reports that previously emerged from Russian state-owned media claiming Russia's Center for Reconciliation in Syria said it had been warned in advance that al-Qaeda-linked terrorists brought in chlorine containers to a village in Syria where they were to work with the White Helmets to stage a provocation. This is something we reported on in the past. Now, whether one wants to believe the Russian media claims or not, it's worth reminding ourselves that attacking a sovereign nation that poses no immediate threat to the U.S. and its allies is a major breach of international law unless the action has been approved by the U.N. Security Council. In the case of North Korea, the U.S. will most likely use the justification of what is known as preemptive self-defense, whatever that means, to claim the right to protect itself from North Korea's alleged nuclear program. In contrast, in Syria, the U.S. and its allies are hoping to invoke the responsibility to protect doctrine. Clearly, the recent claims that North Korea's involvement in Syrian chemical weapons attacks suggest the U.S. may hope to bring a strike on North Korea to the table within the same pro-interventionist framework regarding the protection of Syrian civilians from deadly chemical weapons attacks. Very obvious that this is perfectly lined up with what they're trying to accomplish. And I think to those that have been paying attention, it's beginning to become very clear that they are forcing this round peg into that square hole because it's what they're expecting to accomplish. And it's what we've seen carried out in the past. All they need is such a small amount of the masses to go along with these lies for them to be able to move forward. And I think right now, people are so distracted with so many other things that they just don't see it coming. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.